Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
In our lessons on Sunday morning classes, we have been talking quite extensively about what God commands us to do as Christians in the realm of personal evangelism. We understand, according to what is taught in regard to our Lord's life, the focus that He focused on during the time in which He was here certainly was centered in and around doing our Heavenly Father's will. And a very vital part of what Jesus came to do is identified in the Lord's words in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 when He said, "I came to seek and to save those who were lost." And therefore, as Christians, we should not be surprised that as disciples of Christ, God wants you and me to do likewise. He wants our lives certainly to be lived in accordance to His will so that you and I will be able to spend eternity in heaven with Him. But friends, also God wants each and every one of us to also understand is that we have a huge responsibility to do all that is within our power to do to proclaim Christ unto the lost and dying world. Every single day, our God wants our lives centered in and around telling others about the salvation that He extends to mankind in and through His Son, Jesus, and our Savior. And if we fail to do that, I fear that whenever we stand before God in judgment, He will indeed hold us accountable for this. Why? Because it is a part of His will. It is a part of His law. And therefore, whenever we do not do what He says to do in this realm, or for that matter, in any other area of life, it is to transgress His law. And the Bible identifies in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 is that transgression of His law is seen as sin in His sight. And the wages of sin, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, is death. We are separated from God whenever we fail to do what He commands us to do. And therefore, as we enter into our lesson this morning, I want to ask, are you fishing for lost souls in the world? It was suggested by one of our elders a few weeks ago that I engage in a series of lessons on parables of Jesus. And I asked in regard to what was to be the focus out of those parables, and he said, "I would like to have you focus upon evangelism and becoming a Christian." And therefore, this morning, we're going to engage in a series of lessons based out of the parables of our Lord and Savior on reaching out into the lost and dying world, and to go at this in a matter of which we find to be characteristic in regard to Jesus from the parables. To begin with, as we think with regard to the life and teachings of Jesus, every major event as it pertained to Jesus' personal ministry certainly took place in and around Jerusalem. But friends, also, I want us to understand that a very major part of our Lord's ministry centered in and around the Sea of Galilee. And taking into consideration, whenever we think with regard to Jesus and the Sea of Galilee, it is there that Jesus calmed the storm. You will recall from the context of Scripture is that the apostles of the Lord were on a boat and they feared because the storm was causing the sea to rage, and whenever Jesus appeared before them, it was only our Lord who was able to calm the storm. In that same instance and others, friends, the Bible identifies to us is that our Lord walked upon the water, the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus taught in and around the Sea of Galilee His infamous Sermon on the Mount. And many of His parables also centered in and around the Sea of Galilee. And therefore, we should not be surprised to understand is that Jesus taught from time to time a parallel between fishing for fish, that which man would consume, and fishing for the souls of mankind. But to our Lord and His call for the apostles, that at least four of these men were very experienced in the realm of fishing. And what is it that Jesus said unto them? He identified in calling them that I will make you fishers of men. These men had their life centered in and around their livelihood of casting out nets and bringing home fish and selling them in the marketplace. And I believe that as a result of what it is that they have done all of their life, being raised in and around the Sea of Galilee and it being the family business, if you would, is that they were very good at what they were doing. They knew when to cast the nets and they knew when to drag them in. They knew when to stay docked at the station and then also when to cast out according to the standards of the water during that time frame. But friends, also one thing that they lacked would have been an understanding of what it meant to be fishers of men. Know what Jesus identifies in His call to these men. He doesn't say that you've been fishing all your life and you ought to understand what it means to be fishers of men, but rather He says, I will make you fishers of men. Friends, if you and I, as Christians, want to fulfill what God commands us to do in the Great Commission, to be fishing for lost souls, we need to turn to Him. We need to identify the ways in which Jesus was a fisher for men and to emulate or to follow those examples and to realize is that we cannot turn to instructions of men in order to accomplish this, but rather we must turn to the man, Jesus Christ, who certainly serves as God's example that is put forth for us in order for us to become properly fishers of men. In regard to this also, note what is stated in the context. He says, I will make you fishers of men. He's not identifying that salvation is only open unto the male factor. Rather, that salvation is extended unto all of humanity. He is simply saying is that those who are employed by the Lord to go out into the world as Christians in a personal way, with personal evangelism, if you would, is that we need to look to every single soul and to understand the significance of that soul as it will someday stand before our God. And therefore, God did not say is that I will make you fishers of the Jews or I will make you fishers of the Gentiles and exclude the Jews. What He is saying is that every single soul is important to God. And He expected the apostles to understand that as they were called, but more specific, as they were sent out after His death, burial, and resurrection from the grave. In a more specific manner, after the Lord's church had been started in the book of Acts chapter 2. And certainly we find is that they did understand these things because they practiced it in their everyday walk of life. They went first unto the Jews. Why? Because that's the area that God expected them to go. But friends, also we understand is that they launched out whenever God opened up the door of salvation unto the Gentiles, and they excluded absolutely no one. Now, I will say that from time to time, even the apostles struggled with the idea of God extending to salvation unto certain ones. And you and I, because of the world in which we live in, where that the world looks to status, and the world looks to the way in which maybe a person is dressed, and their education or lack of education, is that our minds might be warped to that very end even to this day. But God wants us to understand, I believe, even in the statement here, I will make you fishers of men, is that we cannot, we must not exclude anyone in helping them to understand that they're lost before God and that Jesus Christ is their only means of redemption. In regard to the way in which these men responded, we do not find is that they hesitated at all, but rather is that they immediately left what they were doing and they followed the Lord. Oftentimes in our lives, we will allow certain things to get in our way. And it's certainly understandable, if you would, from a world standpoint, how we can allow those things to do that because our lives are busy. We go to work and we work 40 plus hours a week. Whenever we get home, we have things to do, things pressing at home with our families as well as just general things around the house. And then we have other things to do from a social standpoint. And if we're not careful, hence, before we know it, our lives are filled with all of these other things and we've not gone out and done what God expects us to do in helping bring souls unto the Christ. These men left what they had been known to do each and every day immediately to follow according to the standards of God. They left their nets, their ships, and their families to accompany Jesus Christ our Lord. They left that which was familiar to them to follow that which might have seemed uncertain to them. They left that which they loved, their families and their friends, behind to an individual that they had only known for a short period of time in comparison to the other relationships that they had in life. These men had grown to understand, at least in part, is that whenever the Messiah came and called them, is that it required an immediate and 100% commitment on their part. And therefore, friends, as I stand before you today, I tell you that God wants us to leave things behind immediately and to not allow things to get between us and the Lord in the area of personal evangelism or other things for that matter, and to do what He expects us to do 100% committed to Him. It's also important, I believe, to point out is that as these men were fishing on the Sea of Galilee, they were fishing and catching live fish. And somebody says, well, Kevin, I fished before and I know that whenever you reel them into the boat, usually they are alive. But they died after that, having been sold into the marketplace, and some of them died simply before they got into the marketplace because they've taken out of their natural environment. And friends, you and I are going to do the opposite of that. We're looking for the catch that of the soul of the person that is dead in Christ, and our goal is to make them alive in Christ. They were fishing for fish that were alive and that would die. We're fishing for fish that are dead and will be made alive in and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I ask you, as I also ask myself from time to time, do we really and truly understand that? How often do we really and truly think about the fact that the majority of the world is lost? And for one thing, we say that they are lost, but really and truly do we consider, do we really and truly grasp what it means that they are lost? It means that they are dead before God. It means that whenever they stand before our God in judgment, is that because of their state or their condition being lost, being dead before God, is that they do not have any hope. They do not have any chance. Their opportunities of salvation at that point is gone. And therefore, friends, that ought to capture our attention. This ought to wake us up as we would think about this and to see them where God sees them, is that as they are lost, they are also dead. And their only way of being made alive is in the here and now and in Jesus Christ, our Lord. As I was thinking about the lesson this morning and coming out of the context about fishing for lost souls, I also got to thinking about the proper baiting that needs to go on in personal evangelism. You see, in one sense, I believe that the cross of Christ served as the hook. And then our Lord on the cross served as the bait. They were very much aware of what the cross was and what the cross represented in their lives. They had seen people die on the cross time and time again. And every time that someone died on the cross, hence their eyes went to the cross. But everyone who had died before Jesus, who had nailed to the cross, friends, they had gone to the grave and that was it on them. But whenever the apostles were preaching and teaching concerning the Christ and Him on the cross, whenever He died, He was no longer dead, but rather He Himself is alive, having been resurrected from the grave on the third day by the power and the glory of God. These people were dead and gone, but Jesus is alive and well. And God says that He is the Savior of humanity. And today we would do likewise. Even truly we want to bring people to Christ. we need to point people to the cross and to help man understand the significance of the cross, the shame of the cross as it represented what it was represented in the days of Jesus. And that many people had died on the cross, but yet at the same time, the one that died and really and truly matters is our Savior. And that He is alive and well today, ruling and reigning from heaven at the right hand of God. And today, that the only way in which man is able to be saved is if they will turn to Jesus. And if they will take Jesus and run with Him, is that that will give you and me an opportunity to reel them in, if you would, unto the salvation that God wants them to be a part of in and through His Son and our Savior. In the context of our message this morning, we come from the book of Matthew chapter 13, verse 47. In the very beginning part of this, He speaks about the dragnet. And the dragnet is the net that goes down, that is cast into the sea. And as a result of that, then the ship continues on, at least in part, and the net drags behind it and catches the fish into the net, and then it is pulled up. And in the context, that dragnet represents the kingdom of heaven here as fishing into this lost and dying world. You and I are responsible for casting out that net as Christians, as the church. This is our responsibility as we relate this parable to us as fishers of men. And God identifies in the context is that every sort or form of fish is brought into these fishing efforts. Whenever they were casting out their nets, they were not able to be selective as to what they were going to catch. Now, they might have understood is that you're going to catch this type of fish, usually if you're fishing over here. And you're going to catch this type of fish if you're fishing over in this area. But at the same time, friends' fish journeyed from one area to the next area. They intermingled with one another. And you and I live in a world today where that there are good fish and there are bad fish. I remember years ago, my papal key, Charlie is his name. And I've told Charlie Turner, whenever we first moved here, he and my papal key share more than the same name, Charlie, in that they resemble each other quite a bit. So when I look at Charlie, I see my grandpa a lot. My papal key liked to go fishing. And as he got older, he liked to go fishing. If he wouldn't catch anything for the first 5 minutes, he was ready to go. But I remember we were casting out and we were fishing for what we thought were bluegill and sunfish or red ear and bass, if we could catch them. And I was just a young boy whenever this was going on. And I remember seeing these carp coming along. And a carp are these real long, bony fish. Not really worth eating. Junk, that's what Tommy says. And I remember having my line out there for these bass and these bluegill and not really catching anything, and I'd see these real big fish coming along the shore. And I'd reel my reel in, and Papa would say, "What are you doing, boy?" I said, "I'm going to catch that one." He says, "They're not worth eating. They're junk. Don't be fishing for those." And occasionally I'd catch one and bring it in, and we'd have to throw it back. And the Lord tells us, though, is that whenever it comes to the dragnet, whenever it comes to us launching out into the world, He says, you're going to catch every type of fish. You're going to catch some that are good. You're going to catch some that are bad. He says, that's just the way that it goes. Well, what's it mean? You're going to catch some who are going to be appreciative of what it is that they've become a part of. You're going to catch some where that whenever they receive the forgiveness of sin, they know where they were before God, and now they recognize where they are. They were once lost and now they are saved. They had no hope and now they have hope in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as a result of that, they're going to be here every Sunday morning and Sunday night. They're going to be here every Wednesday night. Unless circumstances that are beyond their control keeps them from it. They're going to study the Bible every opportunity they can. They're going to be involved in everything that they can possibly be involved in with the church. But then he also identifies in this is that there's going to be some who don't get it. There's going to be some that whenever they put Christ on in baptism, their heart's going to be half-hearted. They're going to be here some. They're going to miss a lot. They're going to do okay to begin with in living right, and then before you know it, they're back over here out in the world. You're going to have others. You're going to try to have one foot in the church and another who's going to have one foot in the world. Remember what the Lord said in regard to that in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16, I believe it is. He said, because you're neither hot nor cold, but because you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. We need to know as Christians that we can't be like that. And certainly we need to do what we possibly can to tell the world is that the world, those who come to Christ, can't be like that. We're going to catch every kind of fish. And in regard to that matter, certainly during the time in which we're here, we do what we can to mature people in Christ. And whenever people aren't walking according to the standards of God and we recognize that, then we have an obligation to identify them as such and withdraw from those individuals. But the bottom line is that sometimes there will be those who are strong, committed Christians. Also, there will be those who are hypocrites. And they're living a secret life in regard to these matters. The Bible identifies, though, is that God will separate the good from the bad using His angels. I've studied the Scripture quite extensively over the course of the last several years, especially. And I saw something this time that I'd not seen before. I've seen it and I've read it, but I've just never, it hadn't resonated. God will use His angels. This is a work of the angels to separate the keepers from the bad ones. I'm reminded of what we find in the context of Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. In that context, the Lord identifies is that He will separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep are those who are faithful to the Lord. The goats are those who are hypocrites, who are trying to have one foot in the church and one in the world, who say one thing and then do another. They're not truly committed. And this is all a part of that catch that we're bringing in. And sometimes I know people say, well, Kevin, it's those bad fish that we catch. It's those disappointing members that we have that keeps me from launching out. And friends, God doesn't say if you've got people who are discouraging, don't go out after others. He says every soul is important to Him. Keep on launching out. And even if you get one keeper, the one keeper's worth it all because that soul, that person represents a soul in the sight of our God. And God says He'll separate the keepers from the bad ones in the day of judgment. But nobody also identifies in the context here. In this context of verse 51, he bears out, I believe anyway, is that new converts bring great blessings to the church. And I looked at that and read that and thought about how do they bring great blessings to the church? And someone who has looked at things with the glass half empty, from a pessimistic standpoint, they say, they don't understand what's going on. And they don't realize what the Bible teaches. They're not truly converted. I get all that. And it takes time, amen, for people to get their heads and their lives, their hearts wrapped around things. And we need to be patient with them and keep on teaching them. But in that, whenever somebody becomes a Christian, whenever somebody walks down that aisle, it's happened I don't know how many times since we've been here, since I've been preaching, and even whenever I'm visiting somewhere and I see somebody walk down that aisle, I get goosebumps all over. I get a chill down my spine. There is excitement that comes about simply because we know what that soul is doing whenever they become a Christian. Their sins are washed away. And now they are seen as alive in God. And friends, I never get over that excitement and that enthusiasm. But that new convert also brings blessings to the church. And the fact that it's not all about numbers. But the more who are here, the more encouraged we are. Amen. And that one soul, or those two souls, or those three souls, however many they are, they represent a number that is encouraged to us whenever we look out and our goal is to fill this building. Amen. For the sake of bringing souls to the Lord, bringing them to salvation. There are so many blessings that come as a result of these new converts, seeing them grow, seeing our new convert men participate in the services, seeing our young ladies get involved in teaching classes and things of that nature. What a blessing it is to help bring souls to the Lord and to be a part of the church. Are you a fisher for lost souls in this world? If not, understand that God commands each and every one of us to take our role, to take our position, and to cast out each and every day into the world, hoping and praying that we will be able to catch those souls before it is eternally too late. Let's make sure that we have a hook, the cross. Let's make sure that we are using the right bait, Jesus. And let's make sure that we're casting out each and every day to bring them in. This morning, if you're here and you're outside of Christ, we want you to know how important becoming a Christian is. If you die today and you are not a member of the Lord's church, the Bible makes it very clear that you will be lost. And friends, I take no joy in saying that. But yet at the same time, I say that with boldness and conviction, because that's what God expects us to teach. And I believe it. Is that if people are outside of Christ, they do not have a hope of being saved in the end. God does not want that, nor do we. And therefore, God is patient, not willing that you would perish, but rather that you would come to repentance and also obedience to His will. And therefore, this morning, we extend the Lord's invitation to you to become a Christian this very hour before it is eternally too late. And maybe also that we have erring members here who need to repent, who need our prayers today. If you're willing to come forward in response to the Lord's invitation, we will pray with you and for you that you might also be restored back into a relationship with Him once again. If you're subject to the call this morning, please come as together we stand and as we sing.